Therefore, be imitators. Somebody say imitators. Imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. If we are to be imitators of God, we must forgive and accept forgiveness. Somebody say forgive, and accept forgiveness. Somebody say forgive. And accept forgiveness. One of the best pictures of forgiveness and being forgiven that I could find in Scripture is found in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 11 through 32. Many of you are familiar with this story. However, as I read it into your hearing, I ask that you listen to this story with fresh ears, a fresh perspective, and a fresh heart. Act like you have never heard this story before and look for what God is speaking to you. This parable is about the lost son. It starts off in verse 11. It says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me my portion of goods that falls to me.' So the man, he divided his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all his belongings, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, who sent him into the field to feed the swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. No one gave him anything. But when he came to himself," somebody say came to himself, "he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have enough bread to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he still was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' And he began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. And he came and drew near to the house. He heard the music and the dancing. So he called one of the servants and he asked, 'What does all this mean?' And he said to him, 'Your younger brother has come home, because he has received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him, 'Come in and join the celebration.' So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been with you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you have never given me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours come home, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him?' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" The word of God for the people of God. One of the things that I discovered that in this parable, we are introduced to a young man who desires to be independent of his father. And so he asks for his inheritance while his father is still alive. His attitude represents part of society and Christians who believe that they do not need God. How many times have we encountered people who think that they can do things on their own independent of God? How many people do we know think that they do not need God? See, we live in a society that promotes being self-dependent, self-sufficient, and self-reliance. We look at the so-called self-promoting standards today, and we understand that for the most part, it is actually a desire which contradicts God's standard of living. See, I'm not saying that being independent or independent thinking is wrong. There are seasons and reasons in life that we must think and make decisions independently from our parents, from leaders, and from our children. But there is no excuse from thinking independently of God. A life independent of God is actually a life separated from His love, His fellowship, and His authority, which we see in our passage of Scripture. See, this foolish young man was certain that he would be better off on his own apart from his father. So after collecting his inheritance, he took off with the money. He went out to a distant place, far away from home. He didn't realize that his true independence comes only when he was totally and voluntarily surrendered to the father's will. The young man took the money and he lived a prodigal lifestyle, squandering his wealth in wild living. He found himself in a distant country, according to the NIV version, an area out of bounds for Jews. How many times do we know people who live in an area out of bounds for Christians? See, when we try to live independent of God, we risk finding ourselves so far away from Him in places that He never intended for us to be. The Bible is full of examples of people who try to do things on their own, independent of God. They try to do things their own way without God, all to find out that they couldn't do it in their own strength. Like Jonah. You remember the story of Jonah? He found himself in the belly of a large fish trying to be independent of God. The children of Israel, they found themselves wandering in the wilderness for over 40 years because of their criticism of God's plan. Eve ate the fruit and gave some to her husband who was with her, only to find herself deceived by the serpent. Trying to do things independent of God causes habits. There are consequences for those choices. And there are so many more other stories, but you get the idea. You know how it turned out for them. It didn't always turn out to be a pretty picture. It may have been appealing to the eye, satisfying to the flesh, and stroking the pride of life, but it didn't always turn out the way that they thought it would. But being independent of God separates us from Him. The parable of the lost son points this out. The pleasure only lasts for a season because soon as the young man lost everything, he realized that he needed his father. Scripture tells us that there was a severe famine in the land that made the situation worse. Shortly after that, he found himself in a demeaning job dealing with feeding the swine. These were animals that were unclean to the Jews. This young man was at his lowest point in life, and no one was willing to help him. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you felt like you was at your lowest point and there was nobody that you could turn to? See, this young man, he thinks back to his home with his father, how even the servants there are better off than he is now. So he decides to go home. On his way, he plans his speech in his mind. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of the higher servants. If that didn't get it, I could imagine that the young man said, I'll squeeze out a tear to tug at the old man's heart, and maybe that'll move him to have mercy upon me. But what he didn't know was that his father had been waiting for him to come home all alone. Every day he had been going out, looking up and down the road, hoping that his son would soon appear. And this time, there he was. The father, when he saw him, ran down the road towards his son. He grabbed him, raggedy clothes and all, his hair wild and him smelling like pigs. But the father didn't care about that. All he was thinking about was that his son was finally home. And he kissed him, as if he had returned from the dead. See, God feels the same way towards all of his children, even the disreputable ones, looking for them, yearning for them, greeting them with an outpouring of his love so abundant it makes their head spin. See, people can't quite understand how a God like the God that we serve can love them so much. He doesn't hold the wrong. He doesn't keep bringing up the past. In this parable, Jesus teaches us that the Father let that all go. Somebody say, let it go. The Father's reaction to the returning of the prodigal son reveals four important characteristics of God. And if your neighbor is not, nudge him a little bit. Say, you don't want to miss this. The first characteristic that it reveals is that God is full of compassion. Somebody say compassion. In Matthew's, the 9th chapter, the 36th verse, it says, God had compassion for those who were lost. When Jesus saw the crowd and had compassion for them, he was moved. He looked at them as sheep without a shepherd. God is a God of compassion. God covers us with his righteousness. That's point number two. In this parable, the father ordered the servant to put the best robe on his son. God dresses the sinner that comes to him with the robe of righteousness, according to Isaiah 61 and 10. The third point, we are sons and daughters of the Most High. Somebody say, I'm a child of the King. He ordered his servants to put a ring on his son's finger, which is a symbol of acceptance into the family. God treats people who come to him as sons and daughters rather than as servants, according to 1 John 3 and 1. The fourth point, he ordered the servant to kill the fatted calf. In order to save us, God will not spare anything, not even his son, according to John 3:16. For it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God forgives us of our wrong, and we must forgive ourselves and forgive others as well. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and his commandments are his word. He said, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But one of the things that I've learned is that the hardest thing for people to do is to forgive. I'm glad you asked. Why is it hard for people to forgive? The parable goes on to say that now the elder brother was in the field. Oh, yeah. Remember, there were two sons. The oldest son was surprised to find out that his long-lost brother had come home. And there was a party that was happening. How many of you have siblings? Younger siblings. So you remember growing up how they used to keep you in trouble. You used to get blamed for the stuff that they was doing. So you can imagine this oldest brother plight. Because now it was time that his younger brother was finally going to get what was coming to him. Because he went out and he did all this stuff. He now was finally going to get what was coming to him. But he didn't. Instead, he got babied. And his father threw a party for him. The older son refuses to go into the party, and the father comes outside to find him, and he gets an earful. Look, all these years, I have worked for you like a slave. I have never disobeyed your orders, and what have you given me? Not even a goat that I may make a feast for my friends. But this son of yours has wasted all your money with prostitutes. And when he comes back home, you throw him a party. The older brother had what I like to call a little righteous indignation. To him, it hardly seemed fair, all the fuss over one who ran off and messed over all that money. What about me? He wants to know. I've been going to church. I've been faithful. Lord, I've been doing everything that you have for me to do. And it seems like the one who just coming in is the one that's getting blessed. Here's this new person that's getting all the attention. What about me? That's a question, isn't it? What about me? Don't tell me you've never asked that question. I hear some laughter, so Somebody is agreeing that they have asked that question. What about me? Let's be honest. Up until now, the parable was a heartwarming little tale. Then we see ourselves in the story as the Pharisees and the scribes did. If you are like me, we don't like much what we see when God shows us what's in our own hearts. We notice the older son resents all the attention his brother was getting. We notice his imagination adds details to the story. He says his younger brother spent all his money with prostitutes. Yet when I read the scripture, prostitutes was never mentioned. Then, worst of all, we notice the older son feels unloved by his father. But you know the amazing thing about the father is that he loves both his sons. Just like God loves each of us so much, but he loves us so much not to leave us like he found us. Some may say the father could have saved himself all this agony and all this trouble if he had not divided his wealth and not allowed his son to wander away from home. But he wanted his prodigal son to learn a lesson. The first lesson he wanted him to learn was to be humble. Somebody say, be humble. Be humble. The second lesson he wanted him to learn was for him to know that there are consequences to our actions. The third thing he wanted him to know was true happiness does not lie in having the things of the world, but in having a relationship with the Father. See, God is the same. He permits us to wander away for a season. He is not one who uses force or coerces us into submission, but he woos us by his love. He wants us to respond to his love with our love. Whatever is keeping you from forgiving or accepting forgiveness, I want to ask you this question. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth holding on to the animosity? Is it worth holding on to the bitterness? Is it worth the ulcer that is developing? Is it worth that gut-wrenching feeling that we hold on to because we're so bitter? It's time for us to let it go. It's time for us to let it go. Just like the father in the story, he was able to love both of his sons. Our Father in heaven is able to love us. And he wants us to love one another. So if our brother has offended us, it's time for us to let it go. If somebody has hurt us years ago, it's time for us to let it go. Because it's not hurting them, it's hurting us. And God wants us to be free from that weight. It's time for us to let it go. So I ask that today, if anything has been bothering you, if anything, any unforgiveness has been weighing you down, I ask that today you let it go. Join me in letting go of the hurt. Join me of letting go of the hurts of the past. Join me in forgiving. Also join me in accepting forgiveness. Because just like somebody offend us, we have also offended someone else. Because none of us are perfect. We are all works in progress. And when I say we've offended somebody, all of us have offended God. Even though we may do our best, there are sins of omission and sins of commission. There are some things that we've done that we know about, some things that we've done that we don't know about. Yet when we ask our Father for forgiveness, God forgives us. And he wants us to in turn to forgive others. So I ask that you join me in today and let us let it go. The word of God for the people of God. Thank you, God. Amen. So y'all let go of that tension, right? The sermon wasn't as long as you thought it was going to be, right? But I pray that it blessed you. I pray that it touched you. And so before we ask the ushers to come, I'm going to ask that everyone please close your eyes and bow your head. Gracious God, we want to just take this time and we ask that you search our hearts. Lord, if there is any weight, if there is anything that's holding us down, that's keeping us from moving forward, help us to let it go. Help us to let go of the past. Help us to let go of the hurt. Help us let go of doubt. Help us let it all go and allow us to trust in you. Lord, as we go forth, we ask that you purify us, you perfect us, and you order our steps in your word. We ask that as we let it go, Lord, that you guide us, fill us, challenge us, teach us, use us. Most of all, cleanse us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.